All right, back again for another episode. Thanks so much for making the Locked On Nets podcast your first listen of the day. We're here every day of the week talking Brooklyn Nets basketball. Make sure you subscribe over to the Locked On Nets YouTube channel as well. Buddy, got a packed podcast for you. Hit us with the beats.
Yes, sir. Friday night brought preseason game number 2. So we are back in talking about what looks like a closer sample size to what we'll see during the regular season. Some of the old rust getting shooken off by our two superstars, Kevin Durant and James Harden. And then also crystallizing our thoughts around the rookie class and where they stand in the hierarchy of this Brooklyn Nets incredibly deep and talented roster.
We've got a packed one here. Tons to talk about. Tons to look forward to. Going to hit it all for you here. But first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast. On the Locked On Podcast Network, it's your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. I am at Adam Armbrecht on Twitter and still your loyal host of the One Giant podcast in spite of it all over there at Doug Norrie, DFSR, owner, operator, Daily Fantasy, got you covered for all of those sporting needs. How are we, sir, on what will be a Monday morning as we look technically ahead to another preseason game, but reflect upon what we saw on Friday night?
Well, the question is, how are you doing, buddy? Because we're recording this right after the Giants game. And is there anyone, well, we'll talk about the Nets here, but like, did the Giants end the game with anyone still standing on their team? Like, I know it seemed like every single guy either got hurt or punched their way out of the game, literally. Was there anyone, I didn't watch the end, was there anyone still standing on the Giants when it was all said and done?
Listen, and standing being the operative word, because Daniel Jones also wobbled his way out of the game, too.
That one looked rough.
That's about as brutal of a game, and you know, no joking about the injuries that some of these guys suffered, but, I mean, the incidental to Saquon Barkley, then you get Daniel Jones, and then Kadarius Toney after a franchise record-setting game for him with 189 yards says, you know what, I'm all set here. Let me go ahead and... I always love the close fist punch against a player wearing a helmet. It makes all the sense in the world to me. But... what we're going to get into is, of course, the Friday night game, because we didn't get to talk about it going into the weekend. Second preseason game against the Milwaukee Bucks. Got a much better sense, I think, of some of the rotation stuff that we'll get into. And then, obviously, Kevin Durant, you get some James Harden action in there and how they looked. If you're looking for updates around Kyrie Irving, just to get it out of the way up top here, we'll get back into that on Tuesday. Come back for it. We'll update on everything that's happening. But there's a lot of things to take away from a basketball standpoint, and it just feels like you and I have earned this, Doug. We've earned an episode talking about basketball.
Yeah, it was good.
That's what we get. This is our reward.
I'm glad we got a game in here to talk about. No, it was good. Friday night's game was a pretty exciting one, all things considered, when the way it ended. We saw Kevin Durant and James Harden on the court for the first time in this preseason, which felt really good. Felt like things were sort of getting back to normal, for whatever the word normal means at this point. And they looked really rusty, so I don't really know another way to really sum that part of it up. Their games, which is to be expected. There was the first time in real live action outside of practice here for these guys for a while. It can sometimes take a little time, even if you're the best in the world. So no worries there. But they definitely looked a little rusty to start, would you say? It was not a crisp. Harden especially looked like he hadn't really played a game speed for a long time. And again, no one's reading into this at all, but it was not the most crisp performance from either of those two guys, and Harden especially looked incredibly out of sorts at times.
Well, there's the piece of it where, of course, you get the obligatory on Twitter. Somebody caught, like, the screenshot side profile of Harden in the game. Like, hey, here he is. That's Papa James just coming in from the offseason. Yeah. So, and he's also a guy, like, when Kevin Durant is knocking off rust, it looks like, you know, some of the floaters, the drives to the basket are a little bit off. They don't fall, that kind of stuff. James Harden, I think, is the kind of player that him knocking off rust is just like hucking and chucking willy-nilly. Yeah. Like, he's not really going to restrain himself in knocking off the rust. So it probably looks... I think that he ends up looking, you know, quote-unquote, worse as he knocks off rust, as opposed to Kevin Durant, who really more looks like kind of half-speeding it and trying to build himself up. But they both, yeah, and this is what you expect and why, you know, however many, because teams can choose the number of games they play in the preseason, however many you get, these minutes are important just so that when you do get to the season opener, you feel like we did get real game reps, because all the practices in the world, as we know, just they don't do justice for what you have when you're going up against the team, which, sorry, but by the way, if you're facing one of the other Antetokounmpo brothers, they may not realize that it is a preseason game, because that Thonis just loving to get in on the action there. To the dismay of some of the Brooklyn Nets. We may get to that later. That just rang into my head about, like, preseason warming up, knocking off rust. Not for that guy. This dude's throwing bones like it's, game six of the finals.
Oh, that guy, he almost brought down, like, MSG at one point last year in, like, a game that meant nothing, and it looked like he's like a pro wrestler. Anyway, no, yeah. So the game was, it was good to get the guys back in the court in Barclays. They did practice in the park the next day. I think, for the most part, yeah. This was just kind of paying, sort of lip service to the fact that they wanted to get out there and get some actual reps in there. Like, I don't think, again, the energy level for them was probably pretty low, all things considered. They saw who they were going up against. The Bucks didn't have any of the starters out there. They kind of knew what the game was. I don't think anyone was taking, like, they weren't joking around about it, but I don't think anyone was taking it that seriously after, like, the first action. Like, the first action of the game, actually, was funny, because I thought, oh, man, they're going to be firing on all cylinders here, because it was, like, Harden dribble handoff to Blake, screen, and then Harris comes off a pin down and just wide open three from the top of the arc. And it was just like this perfect, that you could tell they had scripted it. Like, you tell, like, hey, this is the first action we're going to run. It was very well timed. It was perfect. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. This is what they're going to be running, this kind of, you know, heavy movement dribble handoff, you know, real tight actions. And then it really just, it was like the first two down the court they did that. And then after that was kind of it. But yeah. I just think it was one of those situations where they kind of, and who could blame them, right? This is the first preseason game for these guys. They look across the court. They don't see Giannis. They don't see Middleton. They don't see Jrue Holiday. This is clearly not a rematch of, you know, game seven from last year in the second round. This is a preseason game in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, let's just get our legs under us and we'll just not get hurt and kind of go about our business. That's the feeling that this game had to me. And again, I think that's just totally fine. When we see these guys actually match up in the first game of the year, it'll be a totally different vibe. But for this game, if you had just been transplanted out of space and this was the first game you watched, you would have been hard pressed to know that, like, Harden and Durant were the two of the top 10 best players in the world.
that wouldn't have been overwhelming.
Well, you would have thought Jordan Orr was the best. He was the best player in basketball, and then like maybe way down the list was Kevin Durant, and then somewhere else was James Harden.
Well, these scrappy youngsters hoping to turn their game into something, maybe somewhere down the line. We'll see if Kevin Durant can make a name for himself in the league. Yeah, the funny thing is, too, because this is also how you know the way the teams are treating preseason games. It's just about whatever script you've written for yourself over the course of the preseason. Because to your point, well, in game one, you know, all the rookies got a lot of the action there. You didn't see any of James Harden, Kevin Durant, all the big players, right? Now, this one was where the Nets were going to dial it up. It doesn't matter that the Bucks, they're not talking with Coach Bud and saying, hey, let's get some 5-on-5. You know, let's get the starters out there to kind of kick it off. It makes me think, like, the NFL preseason games, where those used to be very regimented, starters on starters. Then we all kind of go into the second wave. Like, this is just about when you think it makes the most sense, maybe at home versus away, etc. We're going to get a handful of reps for our guys. And there's not a lot to take away from the style of play. But as we get into who else was on the court for them, we get a debut for a couple other players like Patty Mills. He didn't play in the first game either. So I think we start to get a better sense just of rotation pieces, right? And how this team is going to look as they head into the regular season, which also, going back to that first preseason game where we got a lot of the rookies, and everyone knows I like to get excited about them, I think you accurately, as we anticipated, tamped down what the expectations were around some of these minutes for these guys. This game script gave you a more realistic idea of where this is going to go.
Yeah, for sure. I do think there were things to learn from this game. It just wasn't anything about the top two guys. Like, we didn't learn
right,
anything.
Just not about Harden or Durant.
No. We didn't learn anything there. It's fine. Again, like, this is just what the preseason is for. It's meant as a ramp up. It's preseason for a reason. It's meant to just sort of get your sea legs under you. Some teams are, like you said, are going to take it more seriously or different than others. Like you said, as we're recording this, will be the first time that the Bucks guys had, you know, the real players have gotten onto the court at all. Giannis and those guys
right.
actually played on Sunday. Some of these teams had, took huge days off. Like the Thunder haven't played in almost a week. So it's just the preseason's all over for some of these teams. They kind of, and then you see some teams went out there and just ran their guys 35 minutes because, you know, YOLO, you know, just whatever. and so it just, every team just treats this differently. It was obvious how the Nets were going to treat stuff around their superstars. But like I said, there was some stuff that we could learn. We will get into that here in a second. First, it's almost time for fantasy basketball. If you've been listening to Locked On Fantasy at all with our boy Josh Lloyd, you know he's gearing up with drafts. You also know that if you played season-long fantasy basketball in the past, you might have been a little bit behind just because you can run into teams that are streaming players. They just get the most games in a week, and you can really be behind the eight ball when it comes to it. But that's why you have to head on over to the Sleeper app. They've figured it out. It's a brand new way of playing fantasy basketball. It's called Game Pick. It's only available on Sleeper. In Game Pick, basically what you do is you just pick a single game per week for each of your starters, and that way you know it evens the playing field or levels the playing field because your opponent's not going to get more games in than you. So then at that point you just pick the best matchups, pick the best players. It's a level playing field, and you don't have to do all of the just a constant clicking around to make sure you're getting enough games. Game Picks in the Sleeper app, you have player matchups, you have home versus away, opponents DVP, as defensive versus position ranking, pace, and more. It all adds up to more strategy, less busy work. Sleeper cracked the fantasy basketball code. Also there for fantasy football as well. It's a one-of-the-kind Game Picks. It's the most strategic fantasy basketball experience around. Go into the Sleeper app. Download it today. Start a Game Picks league. Sleeper app. Start a Game Picks league. Download the Sleeper app today.
And oh my goodness, man, if this doesn't sound familiar, it should, because I've been experiencing it myself. I'm trying to stream something on one app that I have. I want to watch my live game coverage. I'm working my phone for highlights from the Giants loss for whatever weird reason, because I'm sadistic about that sort of thing. And it's just all this headache and clutter. I'm begging, as I said before, Doug, to give me one password to one streaming service that he uses. I don't know what it is. It's clearly something he holds against me personally. But that's why I want to tell everybody about DirecTV Stream, because with it, it brings all your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and of course, shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no more need to buy another device ever again. And the best part is there's no annual contract. You just get to sign up, use it, and enjoy. So get rid of that clutter, get rid of the confusion, and get all your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible devices are required, and content does vary by package. So then set the table for us here, Dougster. They come out, starting lineup, basically what we had talked about actually a couple episodes ago, what we think we were projecting for the regular season. You're probably going to get the ceremonial. Blake Griffin will be starting for you because he was there last year, and that feels like the hierarchy they have to go with. But you get your starting five, and then we get into some of the bench players, and this is where we're seeing all the veteran talent that you compiled in the offseason around your stars. This was the goal, to be able to put together this type of deep roster, even if the game action itself isn't going to tell us as much as we want. Though, as you said, we'll get to some of the takeaways that we can really lean into from Friday night's game.
Yeah, so I think that what we saw on Friday is going to be the Nets starting lineup to start the season. I think that is sort of where we saw it going. Maybe short of the question mark around Bruce Brown, but I think that this probably settles that piece of it. Knowing they're going to be on the road. I take that back because I forgot about Kyrie. So maybe the swap out Bruce Brown. I think that will be the starting lineup because Kyrie assuming he plays, will be in. In the starting lineup. So I think he would slot in for Bruce Brown. But the question about which big would start, that was Blake, obviously. I think we knew that was coming just from, like you said, from what was going on at the end of last year. I don't think they would change that now. Later on in the season, maybe they find something else they like differently, and that ends up changing. Short of an injury now to these guys, I'm pretty sure this is what the starting lineup is going to be. So I think, like I said, and swapping Kyrie for Bruce Brown if he plays, and if not, Kyrie for some reason doesn't play, then this would be the starting lineup. So I think that was interesting to see and kind of not all that unexpected. And then if you look at the first rotations, we knew Patty Mills was going to be the sixth man, and they made it very clear he was the sixth man. He was the first guy in off the bench in their first, and he came in all by himself too. So they didn't do later. They did sort of like a hockey line change, not a full one, but kind of close. But his first one at the 7 minute mark, he comes in for Bruce Brown, which also makes sense at that point. And, they kind of like clearly set this path, I would say, of we knew he was going to be the sixth man. He'd already been getting some of those Sixth Man of the Year early votes, or excuse me, early odds. He was there, but they made that pretty clear. None of that piece surprised you, right? Like around that first rotation.
No, and like you said, it's like once Kyrie is in there, then the thing I'll be curious about, and probably something we won't learn until we get into the regular season, is, you know, we said about Bruce Brown and what his role will be, maybe more traditional this year than last year, but how flexible does that remain when you have Patty Mills and you think that he is going to be the sixth man? Where does Bruce Brown fit into that hierarchy? So in this sample size, you're saying, yeah, let's just put in Bruce to start, and maybe it is that almost ceremonial thing like with Blake Griffin because you did so much great work for the team last year. But that would be the biggest flip-flop of Bruce Brown. You don't just back down to being the sixth man. You probably fall down into subbing, you know, spelling maybe Harden, spelling Kyrie, maybe at the forward positions. Maybe the five still gets broken out at some point. So I wonder if we'll ever learn that this offseason, or the preseason games. But as far as Patty Mills goes, this is why you brought him in. And even though I know the stats don't matter, he shot 2 of 7 from deep, but somehow it felt like he shot 9 of 10. Like, it just, everything that he was doing out there looked and felt great. And it just seems like this is that perfect fit that you're adding into this rotation in the backcourt.
Yeah, this is exactly what you wanted. You wanted him to be able to come in off the bench. You wanted him to be able to provide some energy, that be able to play a little bit on ball, but mostly just spot up if he was able to get the shots. Really quick movement from him. He looked very fast. It was known that he was this kind of athlete. We saw them in the Olympics where he played a slightly different role than he'd been playing in the NBA when he was with Team Australia. So we knew that some of the quickness was there. I was actually a little bit, not taken aback by it, but I made a specific note about the speed that looked like he was moving, and especially the quick cutting. That's going to come in so handy here. The off-ball movement's going to come in so handy on this team. We saw there
doesn't look 33 years old, right?
No.
Like, doesn't look like a guy, you know, hanging on at the back end of things. Like, this looks like a guy very much still in his prime.
Oh, yeah. He looked great. He looked great. Like, the shooting was fine. 2 for 7, you'll take it. 4 for 10 from the field, fine. I agree with you that it felt like it was better than that. Maybe it was just because the anticipation level was high to see how he would come out. I think the lack of energy I think we saw from some of those guys was not apparent with him. Like, he had plenty of energy for this game. Maybe coming in off the bench helps that. You know, it's funny about, like, just the attitude. Like, he comes in off the bench like a true six man, right? Like, when you want a six man coming in off the bench, you want the energy to be there. Like, it was totally different than what Harden did. I hate to compare because I'm not really comparing it, but Harden at the beginning of the game, they showed him run out to the court. I should have said this at the beginning, but they showed him run out to the court, and he did, like, this weird, like, jump high five thing with the basketball stanchion, which looked like so weird, and it just bounced off and it almost fell. And I was just wondering, I was like,
well, because that's like his normal pregame thing.
Yeah, I know,
his body wasn't ready for it.
Even
yeah,
that, like, but that's what I mean. Like, so if you don't watch that, it's like he does this move, but even that didn't look ready for it because he just like lost his balance as he came off it. So then by comparison, you get Patty coming in and he's flying all around the court. The energy level looks high. He was not running circles around guys, but it was clear that he was, like, clearly better than the Bucks. Like, he's better than anybody the Bucks had playing at all. And then especially on that first rotation. So I think from a Patty Mills perspective, that was really, really encouraging. And just it was more just a reminder. Like, this was a big offseason signing for the Nets. This was a really, they got him at a discount. They got him when almost any other championship team wanted him. He wouldn't have started for the Lakers, but they would have been talking about it, I think. And so the fact that he's here on the Nets, it was just a reminder about what he can do. Off-ball moving great, speed great, and he's going to present some mismatches, especially for second units.
Let's, I think just to round it out, maybe because we did also get some Javon Carter in this one. I think that when you just talk about that backcourt group, I liked what he brought to the table too. And you talk about the perimeter shooting. That's something that, you know, statistically he can come in and benefit very, very nicely, very casually, can benefit from playing on this type of team. Do you think that, I mean, and we don't belabor it if it's not worth it, because we know Bruce Brown is there, and if we assume that Kyrie is going to be a part of these rotations for this team in the starting role, does Devon Carter have minutes on this team? Do you like what you saw from him in the preseason game and say, okay, like, there is a little niche here, and he can eat into some other minutes, however you find them? Or is this just, hey, have fun being at the back end of the bench, and if we need to call on you, at least we know what we have?
Well, he was part of that second group that came in about 4 mm-hmm. minutes, about 3.5 minutes after Mills came in, when they subbed out Blake, Harris, and Harden. And it was Javon Carter, Bembry, and Aldridge. And so I don't think he's not a rotation guy with heavy minutes to start. Nash had said that they were impressed with his shooting in camp, and he shot really well. I mean, the one that really stood out was he had a transition breakaway above the break three that he hit and knocked down really smoothly, leading into a timeout. That was not a thing that I had seen. I watched some Sun stuff. I have not watched a ton of Javon Carter in the past.
Not a deep dive on Javon Carter.
No, but. I have watched him play, and that was not something That was not something that is usually associated with his style of play, right? And if that's going to be part of his bag, then I think they're probably definitely in games if Kyrie's not playing. I think he is definitely a steady hand that they can bring off the bench, and that the rookies aren't going to be able to provide for starters, right? Like, you feel in pretty good hands with him, and if the shooting's there, then you feel really good. So one game of shooting is not going to really change my mind totally about that, but he definitely looked comfortable, and there was a little bit of word that the shooting had been impressive over these last couple weeks.
Yeah, 5 of 7 and 3 of 4, but I mean, my favorite part of his stat line in 20 minutes is the triple deuce with 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Like, I think that when you're a back-end guy, back-at-the-bench guy, that's what you want to be able to do, is come in and have an impact. Obviously, you don't anticipate someone being able to take over a game from a scoring standpoint, but do some of those little things. That's how you become a contributor, and that's how, when you have a Kyrie out, a Harden out, whoever it may be, well, Javon Carter has to get in for a few minutes here or there. He can impact the game. He can pester the opposition, and that's really what you're looking for, as opposed to what we got last year in times, which, as we said before, very streaky play, especially in the rotations behind the starters in the backcourt, not knowing if it was going to be a lights-out Mike James game or a weird up-and-down 6 assists, 6 turnover game for Chioza, right? So consistency, I think, is also the biggest thing that you try to take away from some of these guys in the preseason as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think we started to see that, and that was it was a good steady hand in a place where they probably needed it. And if he's not going to bring a ton of energy, like, he's not like an energy guy, like, he's not a fast pace.
He did not come out looking like Patty Mills
up and down the court. No, but he's more of a cerebral player, and you'll take that. And that's something that's pretty important. I actually do have a question for you about your opinion about something else that happened in this game. First, going to talk to you about our friends over at Built Bar. You know these guys. You know, in our family, when the Built Bars get delivered, because every once in a while, our friends over at Built Bar like to send us the old little gift basket, kind of make sure that we're keeping up on all the flavors. You know, the family around here is absolutely running for it. Even the extended family, when they come over, they start taking gift boxes of Built Bar. They start disappearing, for sure. That's because they're the best-tasting protein bars in the market, point stop. All the best flavors that you can really kind of conjure up, and to even believe they're a part of protein bars is kind of unimaginable. Coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, German chocolate, orange, strawberry, salted caramel. That's just some of the flavors that you're going to get with Built Bar. And you know us, into the metrics, into the stats. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories 130 to 180. You like to see that. 4 to 5 grams of sugar, only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs, all in one bar. Amazing flavors, all super tasty, all healthy. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, just like our podcast network. You get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off at Built.com. All right, I have
talk to me, Goose. Hit me with a question.
Yeah. So I wonder what we saw from the back end of this game, and the reason I'm bringing it up now. So sometimes we talk about this because we break some of these shows up into around the games into a couple of different podcasts. But the reason we're just bringing it up now is because we're going to get another game that might just wash this away. But I want to get your thoughts on it because I think it kind of does mean something. So we don't see any of the rookies until really late in the game, and they do almost like a full line change again, where all the rookies come in almost as if to say, there's no pecking order among these guys, right? Like, right. No one plays at all. And then Thomas Duke, Kessler Edwards, Claxton's thrown in with that group, and Devontae Kaycock all basically come in at once. Do you think that is a sign that it's none of these rookies have really a spot in the rotation, including Cam Thomas? Or do you think it's that they just don't want to show like they're playing favorites among a group because they know they brought in a pretty good young group of guys here, and they are just trying to maybe do like you would do around youngsters when it's high school or college teams, where you're not trying to show favorites and you're making sure everyone doesn't feel like they're out ahead of the class, right? Do you think there's anything to read into that? Because I thought it was interesting that they have continued to very purposely group this group of guys together.
Yeah, and I think maybe combine it with the way that the game started, a lot of things that we've talked about in the offseason. My indication would be that none of these guys have a real spot in the rotation. That would be my knee-jerk reaction to it. I mean, not even knee-jerk, my somewhat thoughtful reaction to it is like, especially because we, you know, you talk about seeing Bembry out there. We talk about Johnson being out there, right? Like, you start to think about the way these rotations break down and then some of the physicality of those players, specifically around what you would consider to be some guys in line for minutes at the five or minutes at the four, like a Claxton. Well, you know what, Claxton, you look even thinner and less muscular and less physical now with some of the other players that the Nets have brought in. So my indication would be nobody has a spot. Now, there's certain guys within that hierarchy that I think are more likely to build into a role, obviously, over the course of the season, depending on how things play out, injuries and everything else. But I think that the organization came out of last year with a very clear understanding. We want to get deeper. We want to get more experienced. And we want to go into the season feeling like we have 8, 9, 10 bodies that are all already NBA-ready talents. And whatever happens after that, yeah, that's kind of in the weeds for us. We're not overly concerned about it.
Yeah, I think I tend to agree. We've wanted to dream about Cam Thomas off the bench and what that looks like. Go ahead.
Can I say, by the way, too, because Cam Thomas, a guy that, listen, as we know, I get hyped on the young guys, but you are, and rightfully so, I think more often than not, you're right about it, is you temper these expectations around the young players. Listen, he hit some nice shots in this game. As we know, he also gave you the rookie sample.
Yeah.
Like, he gave you the kind of sloppy play, throwing it around. Now, he's out there with a bunch of other rookies. It looked very disheveled when they first all got on the court together, and you know that's a learning curve, but I think it was the reminder. Yes, guys can come in and be microwave scorers and look fantastic, and I think that's what Cam Thomas is going to be capable of doing very early in his career. And also, from a coaching perspective, from an expectation perspective, you go, yeah, and see all this other kind of messy stuff you're doing? That's the stuff that we want to bring you along slowly with, so that if and when we rely on you for a set of minutes, we know that that's going to be taken off the table more often than not.
Yeah, it's just really hard to step onto an NBA court with actual NBA players and NBA defenses and be really good and be good. Even be good one way is hard. Being good two ways is really, really hard. And you have to temper expectations because this is not summer league. And you notice it gets a little harder and a little harder each time. He still hit the huge shot at the end, Cam Thomas.
Yep.
You know, he kind of pulled it back together. He's a guy that's going to keep shooting no matter where he is. I like that in a player. I like it in this kind of player at least. I think there's
had
definitely
a little smirk after the shot when everyone was kind of like, you know, and he looked like he was trying to control himself, not getting too hyped up. And then, yeah, when he comes through, he's like, yeah, you know, I got there, but it was a journey. It wasn't a straight line.
Right. He knew he had basically missed every shot up until that point. Right. So it wasn't that wasn't lost on him, I don't think. I don't think it would have been crazy if he went totally nuts. He had shot terrible before that. Right. He had the one kind of stop in the lane, chuck a defender off. He hit that one, which was a nice shot. But before that, I think he had missed 5 or 6 shots in a row. And so I think when they do this lot, like, you know, with 8-10 left to go, they bring in that group that I said they brought in all the exact same time. That was a planned move. It was not going to matter what the score was at that point of the game. It was round whatever this stoppage point is right here is where we're going to bring this whole group in together. And I think, and look, we might see, we'll know pretty quickly. In these first couple games, they will not, let me put it this way, they won't do that during the regular season. Obviously, that's not going to happen. We'll start to see it flesh out a little bit. But I do think that the idea that they have not really at this point had any meaningful minutes for these rookies with the veterans, like, is a sign that this is not going to be the plan to start the season, right? Like, because they would have done, I think they would have done a little live game action here, and they're clearly avoiding that. Maybe this last game changes it, but it seems like they're clearly avoiding it.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things. One, there was no Millsap in this one, so that impacts the rotations a little bit. Not even getting to these rookies here, but it impacts the way things kind of shake out. So there's two parts to it. One, I think you're right. It'll be interesting to see in the next preseason game if any of those group of rookies gets a little taste. And then, you know, we are lumping, of course, a couple players, you know, specifically Claxton. He's not a rookie, but he's been put into that rookie lineup, essentially. And I think, well, one, I mean, how damning is that to Claxton, I guess? There's a very quick question there. But then the other point that you make about playing all these rookies together, I think that's the nice piece, and maybe there will be opportunities over the course of the season to throw out a lot of the rookies at the back end of blowouts against bad teams where these guys can be developing in the background collectively so that when they do get a chance, it'll look like there's some cohesion there and some familiarity. So I think that you can at least hope that those guys can develop that, and that if, you know, Duke Johnson and Cam Thomas and some of these other players here, that they'll have an opportunity to certainly build up to that point. But do we continue to push Claxton further down this? We know that De'Ron Sharp, that's another guy, right? He's even further down the totem pole as far as that group and getting a chance to develop here.
You said Duke Johnson, and then you got me thinking about football. But I know you combined David Duke with James Johnson.
Oh, sorry. by the way,
that's all right.
Go ahead and make a note of that, because that's going to happen more than once this season.
I was going to say pause, but then I actually wondered if I had done it too, and then we're going to leave it in as punishment. I think that's really what it is. It's this situation where I think it's pretty clear that they don't see these guys as like probably meaningful contributors, any of them, including Cam Thomas, to start the season. Grouping them together from like a hubris and ego standpoint is probably correct. Like Cam Thomas had a huge summer, and I think that this is probably a nice wake up call to say, hey, that was summer league. That was all good. This is a different thing. We still probably think you're a
steal. Right there with Kessler, Edwards, and everybody else.
Totally. You were stealing the draft. It's clear that he's probably, at least in the short term, a better player than those guys. But in terms of like real NBA meaningful minutes, I think this is a sign that, you know, the minutes are going to be low around that entire group. Because now when you're only a few days away from the season, you know, as much as some of these teams have messed around with minutes and whatnot, you do start to see it starting to get dialed in more. Like this version of the Nets was more dialed in than the first game, right? This is closer to the reality. And as the closer you get to the reality, with that reality not being around certain players, you can sort of see the writing on the wall. Like, there's no way you would go from this to Cam Thomas is your third guy off the bench, right? Like, there's just no chance that's going to happen, I don't think. And so, I think that's the part that you can learn a little bit from these rotations, even if these guys aren't going to really see meaningful minutes when it comes to the NBA games, at least to start the season when everyone's healthy. We've seen this with the NBA 1,000 times. People just get hurt. Guys get hurt like all the time. And so what you think is your product to begin the season is often not that, even a few weeks, and then forget it a few months later. Like, things change so quickly, you don't know what's going to happen. And I'm only speaking in terms of like the first couple games right now and nothing else, because predicting what's going to happen in December is a fool's errand. It's Spencer Dinwiddie tore his ACL, you know, two games into the season last year or whatever, right? And that threw the whole thing into turmoil. Three quarters of Joe Harris is the only guy that was on the Nets 2 years ago. These things are 3 years ago or whatever. Like, these things just change so quickly. So predicting that part, I'm just only speaking about what things are going to look like at the beginning of the season. I thought this first game did sort of give a pretty good nod to what that's going to be.
Yeah, and now the next one will be Monday night, and we'll get a chance to take a look at them and say, hopefully, I don't know for sure if Millsap will be available, because he was held out, I think, for the safety and protocol reasons, was the explanation there. So he may not be available. So we're maybe not going to get the full sample size there, but it's closer. And what I'll say is my takeaway from game two, you know, overall, is that the Nets got, I mean, obviously better and obviously deeper, but they also got a little bit bigger. They got a little bit more physical. And, you know, we can talk about what Johnson is or what Bembry is and the state of their games and how much they're going to be relied on and all those things. But the bottom line is the Nets, by the way, took a look at what Blake Griffin did, more of it in the preseason game, was still down on the floor and diving for loose balls, where you understand that you need a bit more of that. Like, that's the extra thing you need behind superstars, and I thought you saw a really nice collection of that. We didn't even get to LaMarcus Aldridge, by the way, who had a rejection at the rim, which I just thought was, did I think that he wasn't capable at this point in his career? No, but it also looked just absolutely fabulous when it happened. So I think there's little things like that I'm taking out of this and going, hey, these veterans look like they're pretty fresh in the legs in preseason game number two. But, you know, it's a long season, and you do want to see a sense from these guys that they're ready and capable for that long haul, rather than having to maybe push up timelines on young talent and rely on them more than you want to during the year.
Yeah, 100%. I think we'll see some more of this on Monday. It'll be interesting to see what happens here on Monday against Philly. It's a national game. I don't know what each team is going to run out here. It does make sense to ramp it up, I think, a little bit starting now, like they have been doing. So I think we probably see the starters again, but I don't know if that's been confirmed or not. It'll be interesting to see if we get Kyrie here. It's a first game away. So we're going to be back again on Tuesday, breaking that all down. Once again, thanks for making the Locked On Nets your first listen here every single day during the week, bringing you Nets action. And another reminder that we are on YouTube under Locked On Nets. There is a link in the show notes. Seeing great numbers over on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to get the videos. Every single one of our podcasts and more is going up on YouTube. So make sure you are subscribing to the Locked On Nets YouTube channel.
And by the way, tomorrow night we'll be on there live after the preseason game, breaking down what we take away from that. So that's something we'll start to do a little bit as we head into the regular season. So check us out live on YouTube tomorrow night. And when talking about these young rookies, it feels like this is apt, as they say, my friend. Rivers know this. There is no hurry. We shall get there someday. Allen Alexander Milne.
Oh, A.A. Oh, Mr. A.A. Yeah. Milne. What did he write? Winnie the Pooh? What did he write? I think that's
Winnie
right.
The Pooh. That's
Winnie
right.
The Pooh? Yeah. Yeah, I know my stuff. I'm smart. All right, I read books. All right, we'll be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.